1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551 is our text number. Gloria, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Your mother's name was Philomena. She was born in the Sacred Heart Convent. She was you were born in the Sacred Heart Convent in Sean Ross.
No, Joe, I wasn't. My sister.
Your sister was. Okay. But your mother's name happened to be Philomena.
Yeah.
The movie that everyone is talking about, it opened on Friday, is called Philomena, and it's based on a true story of a woman called Philomena Lee, who was taken into the Sean Ross convent in Ross Cray and gave birth to a child around in the 1960s. What's your connection with Sean Ross, Gloria?
Well, my only connection, Joe, is remembering that my mother went there in the 1960s. It would have been 1963 because I remember I was 7 years old at the time.
Okay.
It just struck a bell with me, just being the same name and same place. And I was going to go and see the film this afternoon, but actually it's not showing in Kilkenny at the moment. So I mean.
And what did your mother ever say about Sean Ross?
Well, it was to me as I was very young, so it wasn't spoken about to me as such. Mm-hmm. I just remember her disappearing out of my life when I was seven. I was preparing for my first Holy Communion. And I just remember her walking me back to school one day and wheeling her bicycle because she would have been returning to work. And that was just an unusual thing to happen. So that's how I remember it so well. And she just kissed me goodbye and she was gone. And of course, I didn't know where she was gone. She was gone out of my life. She wasn't there when I made my first Holy Communion then. And
why did she have to go into a Magdalene laundry at that stage? Why did she have to go into a convent if she had a seven-year-old child?
Well, she already had me, obviously, and had kept me. And we were living with my grandparents. And then this happened, and it was a priest, a family friend that apparently had got her into this place, and that's where she went. And
there was no way, given that you were already living in the house, that you could have had that child, your sister, in the home,
I'm
the family home.
I'm quite sure it wasn't accepted. You know, she was probably in an awful dilemma and fear as to what was she going to do now, you know, another child. So that's where she went. But she ended up coming out of it when probably my half-sister now was, I think, about 7 months old.
Okay.
I remember going to Sean Ross because another thing, just, you know, the way some things stick out in your mind, that it wouldn't have been usual, we'll say, to get a drive in a car back in those years, not for me anyway. Mm-hmm. And I got this spin in the car with a friend of my grandfather's and my grandfather, and went to Sean Ross to pick up my mother because she was not going to leave it without the child. She was apparently willing to stay there.
And she brought your half-sister home with her?
And she was brought home. Okay. Yes, she was.
And
yeah.
I presume she was reared as
yes,
your sibling.
Yes, she was. Yes, okay. That's right.
And
yeah,
so your mother was gone out of your life for how long to this convent?
Well, she was gone, I would think, I made my first Holy Communion in May. Mm-hmm. So she was probably gone maybe March or April that year, which was 1963, I think.
50 years ago.
And 50 years ago. And my half-sister was 7 months old when they came back. So.
And what were you told when you said, "Where's my mammy?"
I wouldn't have been told anything. Nothing was ever really discussed. And even up to the time, my mother died very young. My mother died then when I was 17. Okay. and it was never discussed. I never asked any questions, and I was never really told anything either. And so to this day, you have the regrets of not having had the courage or been, I don't know, I suppose 50 years, 40 years ago when I was 17, things were different than they are now. You didn't really ask and you weren't told a whole lot. So
you would have been, was your mother in the family household, or was she your sister, if you follow me?
She, as far as I can, you know, recall that for a long time, I would have thought of her as my sister, which wouldn't have been unusual, I'm sure. The way it happened for me that I came to the realization that she was my mother. Something was said to me on the street when I, you know, as a child out playing. Someone said something to me that suddenly made a registration in my head that actually she was my mother. And that was it. That was just a realization that came to me. And
now, are you in a dilemma about going to this film, Philomena, Judy Dench plays Philomena Lee, an Irish woman, similar circumstances, no story is ever the same, similar circumstances to your own mother. Steve Coogan plays this journalist who takes her case in the search for her son. What have you heard about the movie?
Well, just listening to you there speaking about it this morning, and I have been talking about it with a sister of mine as well, but you just said this film is so accurate as to
that was
what
from
actually
that was,
went on.
I was quoting somebody who was born in Shanross.
Okay.
And I think if unless you know in great detail of the circumstances in Shanross, I think you might be in for a shock. Because it comes.
I think I might be actually.
Because the nuns in particular, most of the nuns, not all of them obviously, Sister Hildegard in particular, I don't think I've ever seen a more, I'm told it's accurate, but a more brutal portrayal of a nun than.
Yes.
It would bring tears to a stone now, the treatment that this woman got in Shanross. And then when she went searching for her son, she was told that there was no records, that there'd been a fire. And then she subsequently discovered. By the way, this is not a thriller. This all unfolds in the first 10 or 15 minutes. But she then discovers that her son, while she was looking for her son via Shanross, her son was looking for her via Shanross. And they would never, her adult son, and they would never make the connection. And by the time that Philomena tracked down her son, it was too late, which unfolds in the film. But the images from Shanross are horrific beyond belief. And it's not just they're not graphic. It's just the psychological torment is stunning. Let me bring Brenda in. Yeah. Brenda, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
You've been to see the movie Philomena.
The film, I did. I saw it on Friday night, Joe.
You were born in Shanross.
I was, yeah. I was born in Shanross Abbey on November the 13th, 1955. And I was there for about a month, I think, with my mother. And I have subsequently met her. So, you know, I've small little bits of information. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was one thing in the film. And I also have read the book, The Last Child of Philomena Lee, which I think is, you know, gives a much broader view of things than the film actually did. But I was adopted in 1956, I think it was. Yes, 56. And I suppose the whole thing, it just means so much to me because, you know, I was born there. And when I got married in 84, I was given my full birth certificate and my natural mother's name was on it. And myself and my husband then, we went up to the births, deaths and marriages, you know, the place up in Dublin. And over a series of visits, we actually got a lot of information. And one morning, we didn't know how to tie it all together, but I actually had my mother's birth certificate and various details about her, you know, her marriage certificate. And one morning, I think it must have been either late spring or early summer in 86, He was listening to playback with Marion Richardson, and a nun came on, and it was Sister Hildegard. Now, I don't know what program she had been on during the week. I can't remember. But she came on the radio that morning, and she was saying that she was trying to put the mothers and babies together that had been adopted out of Shanross over the years. Okay. And she was facilitating that at the time. Now, at that point, I had my ordinary baptismal certificate, and I knew that I was baptized in Rossgray, but I had no idea I was born there. So then I knew, yes, I had been born in Shanross Abbey. So we rang her on the Monday morning, and she confirmed over the phone that my mother had been admitted there in October 55 and that I was born there on November the 5th.
And what did you think of the portrayal then of Sister Hildegard in the movie?
Well, we went up to meet her after that.
Okay.
And it was a very different person. You know, the heart, I just think the something must have happened. Like, she when we went up, she facilitated us very well. Now, we had a lot of the information about my birth mother, and we went down the road to find her herself. But at the time, she was willing to facilitate us.
And just for people who haven't seen the movie, how can you describe how Sister Hildegard is portrayed in the film?
Oh, she's very harsh, and totally unforgiving. And to be honest, I think that part of it was true. And maybe she had some felt remorse or something, was trying to atone. I don't know. But when we went there, she was quite... This is what she was doing. She was on the radio saying that this is what she was doing. So when I read the book and saw the film, I could not understand why the about turn. Why was she making things so difficult in the 90s when we had no problem in 1986? You know, that was something I couldn't understand, why it was so difficult for Philomena and for her son. And to be honest, I found that was heartbreaking, you know, that they missed each other when they could have had a bit of time together.
But Sister Hildegard is portrayed as being evil. She's evil incarnate in that film.
In the film.
Up to looks like she's in old age. She's in a wheelchair. She's proclaiming that these women didn't deserve the information because they were atoning for their sins.
That's right. Yeah, I found that very hard. And another thing I found very hard was the amount of money that must have changed hands. And you know, I mean, is anyone going to ever ask what was done with it? We're talking about thousands of babies that were adopted and went to America. Now, I was supposed to go to America, but didn't go. And I just wonder, was I bought? Do you know what I mean? Were they looking for donations from Irish mothers as well, you know, from Irish adopted parents?
The fee we were told was 100 quid, and we covered it. Well, I covered it on the Gay Byrne Show in a previous life, and then Mike Malott wrote a fine book on the whole scandal of babies being sold to America, thousands of them. Stay there for a second, Gloria. By the way, would you recommend the film?
Well, I can't say because as I say, I haven't actually seen it yet, Joe. But I will see it. Okay. And
Brenda, would you recommend the film?
Well, I think it certainly gives an insight into you know, what was going on in Ireland at the time, you know. And I think, as you know, it's sort of, if you run it with, you know, the Magdalene films and that, it gives you a very good insight into how unmarried mothers were treated in Ireland, and it was absolutely. It's heartbreaking, you know.
I think I've seen, as I'm sure you have, the other dramas.
It's heartbreaking to think you know, at the time, the way these women were portrayed as being, you know, unfit to actually look after their own children, and how this was instilled in them daily, you know, that they were unfit, and they probably ended up believing that. You know, and I know of another woman who, for 50 years, did not tell anybody that she had a son. Do you know what I'm saying? That, and Philomena didn't tell anybody for 50 years that shame was there, you know? And
that image, that moment which we heard so often here, is on the day of the child's birthday. People, obviously, the mothers remember that day. Yeah. Every day they remember. Yeah. But they remember especially on the birthday. And that was the day that Philomena told her own daughter about this child that she'd love to find out about. And that was the beginning of the search. Manus O'Riordan is on the line. Manus, good afternoon. 51551 We know he is a former head of research in SIPTU, but you say you met Sister Hildegard.
I did indeed. Just before I go into that, my wife died 6 months ago today of cancer. And 3 weeks after she died, I fulfilled a wish of hers. I brought down a bouquet of flowers to Philomena's child's grave, and on it I wrote, "In memory of and in solidarity with Michael Hess, at the request of the late Annette O'Riordan, born Mary Hennessy, Shanross Abbey, 3rd of May 1953, died Dublin, 4th of May 2013. And the reason why I did that was that we had experience of Sister Hildegard. And when I first read a review of Martin Sixsmith's book, I actually hid the review from my wife because I was so horrified by the review itself. Then I bought the book, read it myself first, and then gave it to my wife and say, this is going to be rough going. Mm-hmm. And it was rough going. And the reason why it was rough going that I went down with my wife for the first time to Shanross Abbey in 1985. And Sister Hildegard was all sweetness and apple pie in conversation. But then she spun a yarn to my wife saying, your mother was from County Limerick, which, of course, she wasn't. Mm-hmm. And my wife was very restrained and said, Sister, both you and I know that's not true. And she clammed up immediately, would give no further information. But then subsequently, my wife's own detective work narrowed down the possibilities to two families, and she rang Hildegard again, and then and said to Hildegard, I'm going to both families, and I'll blame the wrong family on you. And it was only at that point that Hildegard confirmed the right family. Now, my wife discovered that her mother had in fact died 3 years after her birth, but we immediately contacted the family and gelled completely with them. Blood certainly was thicker than water. Yeah. And on one more occasion, passing by Shanross Abbey, my wife called in and saw Hildegard in the ground, in the grounds, and she went up to her and said, I found my family. And what was obnoxious about it was Hildegard professed to be overjoyed. And that's why finding out that 2 years later, Hildegard had been misleading both Philomena and her son, that they were each looking for each other, and she denied that to them. That was the essential element of the evil that my wife felt was present in Hildegard, denying that opportunity, knowing that each was looking for the other. There had to be something totally vindictive and vicious in that. And in the portrayal of the film, I was actually shocked in the sense of how physically similar Hildegard was portrayed by Barbara Jefford. And I was intrigued by the name Barbara Jefford, particularly when she was denouncing carnality as Sister Hildegard. Mm-hmm. And then I remembered that Barbara Jefford was exuding carnality in 1967, playing Molly Bloom in Joe Strick's film of Ulysses. So that was an ironic twist to that aspect of it.
But the portrayal of Sister Hildegard, and Sister Hildegard is Irish, is she?
Oh, she was, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Apparently her surname was Gonoude, very unusual name. But did you think the portrayal, which is, unfortunately, I think it's the harshest portrayal of any nun ever in any of those dramas.
Well, you see, I mean, we didn't get, first of all, the encounter between Martin Sixsmith and Hildegard never happened in reality. Mm. It was a dramatic invention, if you like. And therefore, I mean, we certainly didn't encounter any outbursts from Sister Hildegard. But the true essence of the character, of how hard-nosed she was proven in her denial of allowing mother and child to reunite with each other when they were both looking for each other. And in that sense, that aspect of the evil is very definitely present, even though it's brought out in a different dramatic form.
But why? Why would she not facilitate?
There was an element of power. I think she actually delighted in her power. And in fact, one of the reasons why my wife was so moved by the story of Michael Hess, he was a guy who became chief counsel to President Reagan and President Bush Sr., a man who made his way into the world. And yet when he came to Hildegard, he was a supplicant, and she extorted money from him so he could be buried in Roscrea. She was as hard-nosed a businesswoman as that, having been a very profitable businesswoman in selling babies to the United States in the first place. And my wife, who had bet Sister Hildegard, was saying, if I'd only known or met a man like that, I could have instructed him how to deal with her. And that's why
and
she was
Manus,
so anxious to put flowers on his grave.
Coming out of the movie on Friday when you went to see it, what was your emotion? What was your reaction?
My reaction, first of all, was, as I said, I was taken aback by the physical resemblance between the actress and Hildegard. But then I found it a very life-affirming movie. I mean, it's exaggerated, as both Martin Sink Smith and Philomena themselves have said in TV interviews. She's made to be a bit more simple than she actually is, and he's made to be a bit more cynical. But that has the dramatic effect of the dialogue. And I think it's a very life-affirming movie. I mean, of course, the tears were running through it, but you also laughed with it and actually delighted in the triumph of the human spirit that it ultimately portrays.
Stay there, Manus, for a sec. Stephen O'Riordan has also been to see the movie. Stephen is the campaigner, indeed, done great work on behalf of women who are in the Magdalene Laundry. Stephen, good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
As I said earlier, Stephen, one of the things that struck people about Philomena's story is that we're talking about the 1990s, not the 1950s or 60s. What was your reaction? You say, I'd like to come on and talk about my encounter of the nuns from 2006 to 2013 to shed even more light on how they behave today.
Well, essentially, I suppose I've worked with the women, as you said, in the Magdalene Laundries, and my first encounter with two particular nuns in relation to a lady that I was working with was very unhelpful and very, I suppose, disturbing in one sense, because the particular individual had a clear recollection of what happened in her life, but the two nuns who were never in the particular laundry that we were talking about seem to have a better picture and a better analysis of that particular person's experience. And I remember the nuns sitting there and they just turned around to the lady and they just said, I think your memory is a bit distorted. And as a child, how could you possibly remember anything like that? And I just sat there going, you've just told this lady that she's made up this story when clearly this lady's story is absolutely true. And it had turned out, and people obviously are aware of the work that was done, but it turned out that what these women were saying is true. But they denied that lady about 13 times her story, and she kept saying, but it did happen, sister. And they said, no, it didn't. And they said, it did happen. And they kept saying, no, they almost tried to brainwash her into thinking that as an adult, she was wrong, and as a child, that she was wrong. And it was almost that manipulative attitude of, we can convince you that you are wrong. I distinctly remember in Cork going up to talk to some of the women that were actually still in the convent system in 2009. And the nun doorstepped me. I suppose I was trying to doorstep her, but she doorstepped me from gaining access. And she was as brazen as to call the guards. And she tried to suggest that I was interfering with the women, that the women were scared and the women felt, you know, worried that I was going to do something that was going to harm them. And it's funny because in 2013, one of the women that was actually resident in that institution eventually found my number and rang me, and she told me her story. And sadly, she passed away 2 weeks ago. And in the context of what that particular lady had to tell me and the dealings that she had with the nuns all her life, because she obviously was resident with the women up to the point of where she died and she stayed in the convent. It's very harrowing. It's very harrowing to think that the nuns could be as, I suppose, the mind games that they play. And they've gotten so clever now that when they send out registered details, so registered details are from your time when you're in a particular institution, and it says the date and it says when you left, and it might have extra information in it that would be helpful to the individuals. But they're so clever now that what they do is they send out a letter, a typed letter, and they just put down, entered with, say, 72, left in 74. But what we've experienced previous to, I suppose, the apology and to, I suppose, the stories coming out is that the nuns used to send out the original, I suppose, so they'd copy the original one, and it would have extra information which would allow you to piece together stories. Do you know what I mean? To, I suppose, find out more if you need to. But they're so adamant that they just don't want people or individuals gaining knowledge of their story. And yet, I remember in 2013, Kathleen Legg came over from England, and there was a piece of information wrong because her mother had her out of wedlock. And she said that the information on her register details was wrong, that her mother was 21 and not 15. And Kathleen Legg, I just remember the tears pouring down her face, telling her the story, telling about her upbringing. And the nun sat there not an ounce of sympathy or respect for Kathleen. And just and Kathleen says, can you please change the register because it's wrong? And she just turned around and goes, that's not possible, dear. And the silence that was just deafening in the room and the wailing from Kathleen Legg as a 78-year-old woman after bearing her soul to this particular nun. And you're just sitting there. I mean, even myself as a 27, 28-year-old, I'm just sitting there absolutely shocked that somebody who is of religious faith, is who portrays the idea that they're Christian, who you would imagine would have some sort of understanding and sympathy towards these women, would actually open up her arms and say, of course, absolutely. And what happened to you was wrong. And it shouldn't have happened. And you shouldn't be embarrassed or ashamed. But they almost try to reinforce that stigma of, you are completely wrong. And you're so wrong that how dare you even come looking for your details, or how dare you even question the person who put in those details. And you're just, I mean, the portrayal of, I mean, that nun in the documentary is absolutely correct. And unfortunately, I think the word evil was used, and absolutely. And the undertones in terms of like how the character was played and the look in her eye and just her look at Philomena. I mean, just the portrayal of the whole film as a movie was absolutely phenomenal. And I don't think anybody should be upset or worried about going to it, because if anything, which I was completely surprised, there was so many laugh out moments in the cinema. I was like, is everyone okay with people? But the point of the fact was is that it was portrayed in a reality that I suppose defied logic in a sense, which was the relationship that was an unlikely relationship was built between this woman who wanted to tell her story and this individual who obviously had a fall from grace because he'd worked with the BBC and I think he'd been let go or whatever had happened. And they just go on this enormous journey. And I suppose from my point of view, having met hundreds of women at this stage and the stories that they've had to tell and the encounters that we've had with the religious orders, I mean, it was absolutely down to a T. And there were so many moments in the movie where you go, I hope she does this. And suddenly she does. And you're like, oh, thank God. Because you do it yourself. Or there's points where Philomena is constantly talking and your man is kind of sick of her. And I just remember going, God, I was a bit like that with the women. Like, they just never shut up. But the difference was is that they had never been allowed to speak. The fact that somebody listened, they felt then compelled that they had to talk all the time. And I remember one of the lines, and I think Dame Judi Dench, obviously, is going to get an Oscar nod, because I can't see anybody else coming close to her in terms.
But Stephen, just come back to the issues that are raised here. And everyone who's, the people that we have so far who were involved in Sian Ross and Ross Gray and the Sacred Heart Nuns and Sister Hildegard are saying that the film is seems to be uncannily accurate in its portrayal of the nuns and the scenario. Do you think it would put a different frame, for example, on the McAleese report? That people might think the McAleese report should have been tougher and harder and what was going on in there?
I think with the McAleese report, and I've always said this, is that he was, I suppose, tasked with investigating the state's role, and he wasn't tasked with investigating the religious order's role. And I think in a way that the state knew what they were doing in the context of getting Martin McAleese on board, which is that he is a very, I think, Catholic person, and he's got great faith. And I think there's great respect between themselves and the religious order. So I think people understood the context of getting someone like him to work with the nuns to open up the archives. I think from the report, what we should have taken from it is that clearly another investigation should happen. And what I mean by that is that when the apology came in February of this year, there was an outpouring of women coming forward. And I think that gives a proper, logical, more in-depth analysis as to, I suppose, the cruelty and the brutality of what happened to these women. There's one particular lady, for example, that I met who was in Sian Ross, and she was raped and she was put in there. She had her child out of wedlock and she hasn't seen that particular daughter in 71 years and she's now 92. I mean, I just can't. I'm looking at an elderly lady who's telling me her life story, and she's telling me about a son or a daughter that she has had, and the daughter is 71 and she's 92. And I just think to myself, she's gone through life not knowing what her daughter looked like, not knowing anything about her birthdays, not knowing anything about, you know, her family, her upbringing. And what I would suggest for people in mother and baby homes in particular is that this is your opportunity to galvanise yourselves and to come forward and to tell your stories and to get onto the government and start campaigning the government to actually allow, I suppose, the women to understand what happened to them was wrong and it shouldn't have happened. And perhaps the state is going to have to do another state apology. And I know that they will say that they don't want to do it, but it's absolutely guaranteed that the state was involved in this as much as the nuns were involved.
Okay. Thanks indeed. Manus O'Riordan, you would recommend people to go and see this?
Oh, I would indeed. Okay. But the key issue there is to demand that the records be opened up. Okay. It's not a question of retribution. It's a question of giving knowledge.
But did the nuns not burn the records in Roscrea?
They said they burned the records. But, I mean, in the film itself, they were able to produce the form that Philomena signed, signing away her child.
Yeah,
so there was a selective burning of records. But certainly any records that are there should now be made publicly available, because there still is every obstacle in the way. I mean, the way Annette found out who her mother was accidentally finding her original baptismal cert, which gave her own surname. But then she bluffed her way in the records office and said, sure, I already know my mother's name. But she didn't. She knew the surname. But by bluffing her way into the record, she got her mother's Christian name. And that's how the success came about of actually tracing who her mother's family were. So there's every obstacle in the way of knowledge, and that needs to be cleared away.
Okay, Manus O'Riordan, thanks indeed. And again, condolences. 6 months ago today, your wife Annette passed away. Stephen O'Riordan as well, no relation. Thanks indeed. Brenda and Gloria. 51551 also, thank you.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Margaret's in Limerick. Margaret, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe, and congratulations on your award.
Oh, thanks very much. It's appreciated your kind words. But Margaret, you were born in Shanross Abbey. This is at the centre of this new movie, Philomena, which is a searing portrayal of life in Roscrea. Sure. What do you remember about Shanross?
I don't remember anything, Joe. I was born there, but I don't remember anything. My mother had me there. There were 17 years between my mother and myself.
And did you ever go back to look for the records,
Mark? I am going back to look. I am going up one of these days now to see it. I've never been in Shanross Abbey.
And what did your mother say about her time there, if she ever told you?
She never said nothing. My mother never spoke about Shanross Abbey, never spoke about me, how I came or anything. She didn't mention it.
And who did you live with, Margaret?
I lived with my grandmother. Yeah. And my mother. But my mother, going back in the 1940s, we said to the early 50s, my grandmother made us believe. There were two of us born, actually. One, my other brother was born in Cork, in the second half, in Cork, convent in Cork. And I was born in Roscrea, and we were reared in Ballinair. But my grandmother never told us anything. We didn't know anything.
And
I tell you, Joe, when I was coming home, going back to school one day from home, I was going down the road and my mother's cousins came along and she said, how is your not? You're at your mother's wedding. And I just ran down the road. I didn't know anything. I was never told anything. That kind of wouldn't tell you nothing at all.
And Margaret, who did you think your mother was?
My grandmother.
Yeah, you thought your mother, your granny was your mother. But
yeah.
So you thought your mother, your natural mother, was your sister?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Joe.
And when they said to you, why aren't you at your mother's wedding?
And
you were saying to yourself, but that's my sister that's getting married, not my mother.
Yeah, I didn't know, Joe, to be honest.
Yeah, I know. I got
it. It's only been in my mind for the last couple of months now. I'm getting depressed over and everything.
So what are you going to? You're going to look for records, are you, Margaret?
I have my baptismal cert here,
okay.
Joe, and I was born in Shanross Abbey on the 11th of March, 1946. I was also baptised on that day, 1946.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to school in Ballinair, and I made my confirmation on the 29th of May, 1957. And after that, I was taken into the Magdalen Laundries.
And you were never adopted or you were brought home? You were brought home to your own family, so to speak.
Yeah.
And why were you taken back into the Magdalen Laundries?
Because my grandmother didn't want me either.
Oh my
I wasn't
God.
Wanted. I was
so
in the way.
You were born in Sean Ross Magdalen in Ross Gray.
Yes.
You were then brought back home to Ballinan. That's the other thing that struck me seeing the movie at the weekend. A lot of the girls, or the young women who were in Ross Gray seemed to be sent there from the west of Ireland, Galway, Connemara, Mayo. So you go back home to live with your mother, who is in fact your grandmother, and your mother comes back and you think that's your sister.
Yes.
And then at what age were you sent back to a Magdalen laundry?
I was sent to the Magdalen laundry in 1957, Joe.
So you were, what, 11?
11. Just after my confirmation, Joe.
But you couldn't be sent when you were 11.
I was, Joe. That's as true as
I know it is. I know it is. And which laundry were you sent to, Margaret?
St. Mary's in Limerick.
My God. And where did you think you were going?
I didn't know, Joe. I did not know. All I know, I can remember walking up the big steps up to a big brown door and taken in, and a big tall nun caught me by the hand, and my grandmother handed me over, and that was the last thing. And I was put to work next morning in the packing room, in the laundry room, the packing room as they called it that time.
So you were 11?
I was 11, I got no education at all. I don't know how to take, I don't know how to do anything, Joe. Oh. I'm at a disadvantage.
And how long were you in the laundry for?
9 years.
And how did you get out at 20?
My grandmother took me out, I think, when I was, able to walk. I told that to Judge Quirk.
And did your mother, who's your sister, did any of your relations come and see you in the Magdalen?
I can't remember, Joe, to be honest. No. I was too young.
Well,
I don't know, to be honest.
Well, as you became a teenager, 14, 15, 16, 17, do you remember then, Margaret?
I remember the priest, the parish priest in Ballinair, coming in to tell me my grandfather was dead. And I remember that because I had already dreamt of I was at the funeral because he was very cross. I was brought up very rough. It was tough at home for me.
Yeah. Did you get paid when you were in Limerick?
Not at all, George. We did not. Got nothing at all. Yeah.
Did they ever compensate you afterwards?
No, Joe.
My God.
No, Joe. Still waiting on compensation. I was up at the above an Indikinny in the Dáil when he made
the speech. The apology, very heartfelt, yeah.
Yes. Now, today they say nuns don't lie, they do lie, because I went in a few years ago looking for my records and one nun from Cork told me that I wasn't there. And a few weeks after that, about a month, maybe 6 weeks went and I got a record saying I went in 62 and came out in 64, which that was a lie. And Sister Breed Mullen in Watford rang me there lately and told me I wasn't there, but she still sits me on a record. Because you know why, Joe? Because it was illegal to have children in a laundry working that time. And they
in fairness to that nun you mentioned that she was just reading from a logbook or whatever, but you're adamant that you were in Limerick.
I was in Limerick
for 9 years.
And all the nuns' names and all the priests over there.
Okay.
And if I wasn't there, I wouldn't know what was going on.
Okay. But you're going to continue fighting.
Oh, yes, Joe.
Fair play.
Yes, Joe, I am.
And is your mother, she passed away in your
My mother passed away there a few years ago.
Okay.
And she still didn't want me. She didn't even tell me she loved me.
Okay.
The neighbours on the road in Ballinair were this, fed us and clothed us.
Incredible, Margaret.
Yeah, it was very hard, Joe.
Okay. Well, I think this, as I said earlier, that's what generated the call today. I think this movie with Judi Dench.
I saw a clip of it when I was in Dublin at Liberty Hall there lately.
Yeah, I think it's going to, in terms of its portrayal, especially of the nuns, and that issue of why they would bury or burn the records, and in your whatever, contract or compact the records is another issue which should be dealt with. Margaret, are you involved? You must be involved in the group. I hope you are.
I know, Joe, I'm the only one from Limerick here. I don't know any of the girls, really, to be honest, because I've met one woman that was in Dublin, and I met her there when we went up to John Quirk, Judge John Quirk.
To George, yeah.
I met one of the girls that was in the Magdalen Laundry, but she went in 62, and she's in contact with me. I wouldn't know how to get on the airplane or go on a holiday or anything like that. I could never afford to go on holidays.
Yeah. Margaret, what we'll do is after the programme, we'll give you all the numbers of Stephen and all the other people involved in the groups to make sure you're in touch with people. But keep campaigning, and I think this movie, in a funny way, it is a movie with Judi Dench and Steve Coogan. I think in an incredible way will add strength to your campaign. Margaret, look after yourself.
Thanks a million, Joe. Thanks for your time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.